Mosquito Lake residents continue efforts to transform the school into a community center, and a chat with Haynes artist Jim Heaton. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories up next. Upper Chilkat Valley residents' efforts to open Mosquito Lake School as a community center have stalled in the past 6 months, partly due to turnover in Haynesboro administration. This is the second year that Mosquito Lake School has been closed. It initially shut down due to low enrollment. Upper Valley residents are hoping they can open the building as a community center now and as a school in the near future. KHNS's Emily Files visited the school and has this report.
This place used to be really, really loud. The last time I remember it, there's kids doing cartwheels down the halls and everything. It was good. Good fun.
Sarah Marquardt is standing in an empty classroom in Mosquito Lake School. She remembers it being full of rambunctious kids when she went to school here years ago. You can hear her 1.5-year-old Odin in the background.
I don't know. It's really, really neat being in here. On that side, it was like kind of the nap room. So Jeff Bocart was my teacher from first grade to fourth grade. And he always played really awesome black and white, great movies like The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Marquardt is from a family of 8 children. She remembers her and her siblings' pictures decorating the walls. Now there are no pictures.
It's sad coming in here, though, because there used to be all of the pictures on the wall, and you could literally see almost my entire family. It was pretty neat.
She says her mom joked about how their family was keeping the school open with all of their kids. That's probably not far off. To get state funding in Alaska, schools need to have 10 or more students. When Mosquito Lake School's enrollment dropped below that number, it closed. That's been hard for families who live out the highway.
So it was the school that really brought us up here.
Edie Granger and her husband, Joe Ordonez, say Mosquito Lake School was one of the main reasons they bought property up the highway. Their daughter, Stella, went there. They say the small school was like a family.
They all got along, and there wasn't any of this bullying or any of that sort of stuff. And plus, the whole school class size was, you know, small, right? There was 10 kids here, and mixed age, the older kids helping out the younger kids, younger kids learning from the older kids, and, you know, that's a great, it's kind of like a one-room schoolhouse environment in a way, which is something that's been lost in our country.
Now Stella goes to Klukwan School, which is about 8 miles away. Some Upper Valley residents have chosen to send their children to Haynes School. Helly Sutcliffe says that has not been easy for her 9-year-old Sophia.
And the winter especially, she came at 4:30. It's dark, and it's very difficult. And coming a little tired and doing homework, and that's it. It's like almost entire day is for school.
Sutcliffe has a 3-year-old and 1-year-old as well. She says she'll probably send her second oldest daughter to Klukwan if Mosquito Lake School doesn't open. She can't imagine a 5-year-old spending 2 hours a day on the bus. But she's really hoping this school does reopen because she saw what a great education her daughter got here. Sutcliffe says she wishes the school district and borough were more invested in the school.
I see when their tourists is coming, they spend a lot of money to beautiful flowers. So the tourists have a wonderful town. But they can spend for our children here? That just upset me.
Dana Hallett is president of the Friends of Mosquito Lake School and Community Center Board. The group formed and became a nonprofit this year. Its main objective is to reopen the school as a school, but right now, they want permission from the borough to use it as a community center at least a few days a week.
Our sense is that when we open the facility as a community center, then once again, this center will become a place for the community, a location they identify with. Anything we can do to attract the families in the valley.
Back in the spring, Friends of Mosquito Lake drew up a memorandum of understanding with former Community and Economic Development Director Bill Mandeville. Things were looking hopeful, but finalizing the MOU has stalled because of the turnover within borough administration. Mandeville resigned, the public facilities director job has changed hands, and borough manager Dave Sosa recently left.
For me, it certainly has tested my patience.
So will the school actually be able to open as a community center?
I don't know the answer to that.
Brad Ryan is currently public facilities director, soon to be interim borough manager. He has worked with the Mosquito Lake Group on the MOU.
But one of the things that's unclear to me right now is what the assembly's direction is on that. When it was passed to me by Dave, Dave was my supervisor. I was like, fine, we're moving forward. With the turnover, it's caused Julie and I to revisit it. And Julie, the interim or the acting borough manager. And I think we really need some direction from the assembly on it.
Ryan says if the assembly wants to move forward with the MOU, then that's what he'll do. But right now, he's not sure if the assembly was ever consulted. Hallett says the borough's stake in the school eventually reopening is obvious. It brings in more state funding to the school district and more jobs to the community.
And the community, the nonprofit representing the community out here, are ready to go to the table to talk about, to brainstorm these possibilities. We're just waiting for somebody to come join us.
As for the Mosquito Lake families with young children, they hope this building doesn't stay empty for long. Sarah Marcourt wants her toddler to be a student here.
It would be really, really neat to have his picture up on the wall someday.
Reporting from Mosquito Lake, I'm Emily Files.
An approximately 18 by 6 foot traditional Tlingit welcome figure is set to adorn Fort Seward. Haines artist Jim Heaton is carving the yellow cedar panel for Alaska Arts Confluence's Fort Seward Sculpture Garden. 15 Haines artists are creating works for the outdoor art project. KHNS's Emily Files talked to Heaton just as he was starting to add his piece.
Basically, every project is started with an ads, whether it's a mask or a canoe or a panel like this. You use the ads. And it's going to be a traditional Tlingit-style face with two long, outstretched arms, basically welcoming people into the fort. It's a traditional figure, something you would have seen quite a bit. There were welcome poles and then welcome figures. The nice thing about this type of work is it was developed as an art form. In historical times, all of the men had to carve. That was just what they did. If you wanted a bowl or a spoon to eat with, you had to carve it. You couldn't go down to the store and buy it. But if you were wealthy enough and you needed something special for a party, a kuiks or a potlatch, you would commission someone else to carve something for you. And part of the tradition was you couldn't carve something special yourself. You had to actually pay someone to do it, which developed that economy built around producing really nice things. And they were traded throughout Southeast. You'll look at old Haida collections, and in the middle of it will be a Tlingit piece because someone traded for it. And that's just kind of keeping that tradition alive by doing commissioned work.
So what do you enjoy about this kind of work?
Trying to tell a story with what you're doing, or when I'm doing a commission for private people, I work with them and try to tell their story or represent what they want to represent, and that can be challenging, but it can be a lot of fun. And that's kind of going back to the tradition of what the art form was developed for. It was the written language for the people in this area. They didn't, a totem pole is a notebook. It's telling a story or recounting a history. So there was always a very good reason for doing something like this rather than just trying to make a buck.
And what story did you want to tell with this piece?
Well, not a story, but just an action, I guess. Welcome. Welcome to Haines, welcome to the valley, welcome to the sculpture garden. You know, kind of a beacon saying, you're welcome, come on in. And So that just seemed like a fitting thing for this.
Carver Jim Heaton adds in a welcome panel for the Fort Seward Outdoor Art Project, which is funded by Art Place America Foundation. Pictures and other artist interviews can be found at khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.